The Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad you're with us here on this Thursday morning. It's the Budweiser Sports Line, and glad you are with us. We're also glad to bring in our friend Tony Barnhart. You know Tony, he is Mr. College Football and part of the Gridiron Now website that we reference quite a bit here on the program. Tony, I hope you're doing well. How's it going today?
It's all good, John. Forgive the car noise. I'm headed up to Knoxville to work Tennessee's Pro Day for the SEC Network. Going to visit with some coaches. So the spring tour goes on.
Well, I knew that this was going on. You always tour the schools around the league in the spring, and I know you're very busy, so we're glad to be able to get a couple of minutes with you as you head up to Knoxville and, of course, have been making the rounds. Spring football, obviously, in full bloom around the league. What team really needs to have a good spring, Tony?
Well, I think you look at teams like Texas A&M, who have gotten off the decent start, but have had a bit of a collapse the last couple of years. I think Arkansas, their fans are looking for a little bit more consistency. They were certainly up and down and had some late game collapses that just defy description. Auburn, they want to be better on the offensive side, so I think everybody's keeping an eye on Jared Stidham and kind of what they're going to look like. There's a lot of schools in this league. Tennessee, I'm headed there now, as I said. They need to sort of calm the fan base down and get some reassurance. They've only won 9 games the last 2 years, so they've been totally awful there. And so, there's a bunch of teams that have a lot. There's a lot more questions than there are answers in this conference, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. And one thing I noticed last year, Tony, I think a lot of people did, quarterback play in this league just wasn't up to par. And I think a lot of these teams struggled because of quarterback play. I mean, obviously, there's been some issues in Gainesville with quarterback play and elsewhere around the league. But some of these guys, there's some people that are coming back with some experience. Obviously, Austin Allen with some experience coming back. Drew Lock at Missouri. Jalen Hurts at Alabama. Jacob Eason at Georgia. But I'm expecting the quarterback play to be better, mainly because a lot of these guys that are coming back have had in-game experience.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that you mentioned are all young. I mean, Jay Patterson, Jacob Easton, Jake Bentley, South Carolina, okay? Obviously, Florida's got to find a quarterback. You know, is Jared Stidham what we think he's going to be, and Jalen Hurts? So, yeah, I think the quarterback play in this league is going to be significantly better this year. But here's the trend to keep your eye on, John, is that look at the backup quarterbacks in this league. Okay, because I'll take Mississippi State. I was there earlier this spring. This time a year ago, Dan Mullen is repping 4 quarterbacks. He's got 4 quarterbacks who can all play in camp. But we know what he did. He picked Nick Fitzgerald, which turned out to be a good decision. Those other 3 guys, they're all gone. Mm. They've all transferred. And now he's got an 18-year-old freshman who just enrolled in January, and that's his backup quarterback. There are no experienced backup quarterbacks in this league.
Do coaches tell you that that's a big concern? Because you're right. I mean, we have seen quarterbacks. I mean, heck, in Tuscaloosa, there's been a lot that have left over the years, and it's happening elsewhere around the league. I mean, yeah, I mean, hey, you're talking to a backup quarterback, Tony, so I know what it's like to have to sit behind the starter for many years when I was in high school. But, heck, you got to be there because you're 1 injury away from getting the call.
Well, this is going to be the new normal. This is not an aberration. It's not a trend. It is what the sport is going to be. If you are a reasonably recruited guy and you're locked in a quarterback battle, if you lose that quarterback battle, you're going to leave because you're going to find someplace else to play. And it's the nature of the quarterback position because all these guys go to camps. They all know where everybody else is going to school. And if this guy's going to this school, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go over here. And I tell you one thing you'll find out now, John, is that if it's a legitimate quarterback battle at a school, no coach in the future is ever going to name a starter after spring practice.
Yeah.
Not going to do it. Going to get through the preseason and name the guy in preseason camp at the latest so the other guy can't leave.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier about Jared Stidham. I mean, Sean White's a great kid. He's gritty. He's gutty. He's not being able to participate 100% this spring. To me, that's not good for him moving up the ladder, because Stidham is obviously getting a lot of the reps and the run, and they're still saying they're not going to announce it. But I can't imagine Gus Malzahn waiting till the week before their opening game to announce the starter, but that certainly seems to be the trend.
Yeah, I think other coaches I've talked to said, I'm not going to wait the week before the game. Put it this way, he may wait the week before the game to tell us, but he's not going to wait a week before the game to tell the players.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way.
Sure. Let me ask you about an off-the-field situation. I was talking to someone earlier about the Ole Miss football situation, and the North Carolina basketball situation came up, and I kind of went, wow. I mean, I've almost forgotten about that. That was 2 years ago, Tony, and here they are in the Final Four. Why is it taking so long, and do you expect the Ole Miss situation to take that long?
Well, you've asked the age-old question. It's like nobody knows the answer, because the answer is unknowable why these things take so long. The North Carolina thing has had so many permutations to it. There's an academic issue. There's an athletic issue. It is bizarre. But what I'm going to be interested in on that is the press conferences in Phoenix. Tomorrow's the big press conference day. And what is that going to be like? Is it going to come up you got that many reporters looking for, something different to write about? And does Roy Williams get the question? And how many people are going to write about that? So, yeah, I think that's a legitimate issue to talk. And you asked about Ole Miss. Listen, Ole Miss is in the middle of gathering its information to respond to the notice of allegations. And I think it's going to be a while, because they've got to pull that together. They got to go before the infraction committee, and then the committee's got to render a decision. And that's a minimum of 6 weeks out from that. So I'm not going to be surprised. I don't think we're going to know about the Ole Miss situation until the season's over, frankly.
Lack of institutional control, failure to monitor, those are things you don't want to hear. You don't want to read about. I like Hugh Freeze. I just don't know how he's going to weather this when it's all said and done.
Well, I'm going to see him on Monday. Next Monday, I'm sitting down with him, and that will be an interesting conversation. I like Hugh Freeze a lot, and I think he's a good man. But the reality is those charges are there, and they're extremely serious. And really the thing to look for there is when you go before the infraction committee, you get a sense. That's kind of when everybody sort of shows their cards, right? It's like a poker game, to show your cards at the end. When you get before the infraction committee, they're pretty much going to let you know what they've got and what they know they can prove. And the question becomes, when that moment of truth arrives, does Hugh Freeze survive it? I think there's a possibility that he will, but it's not a great situation to be in. There's no question about that.
Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, joining us on our Dreamland Barbecue Guest Hotline. Tony, we were talking earlier today about an interview Cecil Hurd had with Alabama AD Greg Byrne, and one of the topics that came up was future scheduling. And Greg mentioned the neutral site games and how Alabama has had success with them, and it's been financially a plus. And mentioned that home and away series are difficult to do. And as I read that, Tony, I thought, is it just difficult for Alabama to do? Because, Auburn's playing Cal in a home and away, Penn State in a home and away. There are other teams around this league that have got home and away series scheduled in the future. Do people not want to come to Tuscaloosa, or is it just we'd rather make more money going to a neutral site?
Well, everybody's got to follow their own scheduling philosophy. Nick Saban and I have had conversations about the neutral site games. I just think it's a matter of that's good for Alabama. Because, listen, you play these neutral site games, A, to make money, and to B, help recruit. And what Nick Saban likes to do is he likes to play in Dallas. He likes to play in Atlanta. He likes to play in Houston. He likes to do those things. I don't know how to schedule. I don't know how difficult it is to do them. the fact of the matter is the neutral site games have worked really well for Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes without saying. They really have. Tony, is the Mercedes-Benz Dome going to be ready for the Alabama-Florida State game?
Well, they tell me it is. Now, I went through some of this stuff where they were building the College Football Hall of Fame, and I toured that sucker about 3 months before it was opened, and I said, "Boy, hey, no way."
Yeah.
But over done, they did it. It's amazing, these building projects. I talked to people who work on them. He said, everything, you look at it, but everything falls together in the last 2 months. It's an amazing thing to watch. So I don't know Mr. Blank, the Falcons owner, very well. I've met him once or twice. I would say if Mr. Blank tells you that the stadium's going to be ready, I think you can pretty much take that to the bank.
Yeah, I would have to think that if it really gets to crunch time, they'll be working 24/7 to get that thing done. I had a friend of mine tell me just the other day, he was in downtown Atlanta, and there were cranes all over the place and whatnot. And I said, yeah, I've kind of heard some rumblings, but I got to think that facility will be ready to go when the football season starts. Tony, always enjoy having you on the program. Look forward to your work up in Knoxville for Tennessee's Pro Day, and certainly following you on Gridiron Now for all of your reports and updates from around the league and everything that's going on. It's always a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again sometime real soon.
All right, John, always good to talk to you.
All right, Tony, same here. Great stuff. Mr. College